All right, so we're recording now. This is Jenny Fwodar at the Oral History Center in University of Winnipeg for the Two Spirit Historical Archive Project, Oral History Project, sorry. And I am here with Marjorie Bocage. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Marjorie Bocage. I'm Métis from Manitoba. I was born in Vassar, Manitoba, in the southeast corner of the bush there. It's now called the Sandylands Forest because the government gave it to a pulp and paper mill and we had to move out. Yeah. What else do I need to say? I'm, Two Spirit. I live here in Saskatchewan in Duck Lake in the Métis homeland, and I've been here for 12 years. I'm a filmmaker, storyteller, writer. I'm writing a book about my life right now. I do whatever needs to be done to help the community here.
That's awesome. So this first part of the interview is the life story, which can be whatever you want to talk about, but kind of, I guess, what led you to where you are now.
Well, I follow the movements of my life. It just has taken many different forms over the years. My first 15 years were in the bush. That's where my grounding is. I grew up on the land. The land raised me. And then when I left home, I went into the convent. So that my sexual being kind of went frozen. I didn't know there was such a thing as lesbians or two-spirit or anything like that. I'm 75 years old, and I didn't have knowledge or awareness of those things when I was growing up. And the ceremonies were outlawed still when I was growing up. So we didn't have like ceremony. I was raised Catholic. The whole idea of being a sexual being was not part of that frame of reference either. It was pretty hidden. And so it took me a while to find who I was. I was in my 30s, I think, when I fell in love with a woman. And I had left it. And then I left the church and all of that. And I started going to ceremonies with the cultural revival. And but the women and Two Spirit were never really a big part of that picture. It was the men that kind of took over. And so I was I was a social activist, I guess you would say. I was involved in anything around social justice and making room for difference. I always questioned everything. I always got into trouble for it. But I kept on going because that's part of my gift, is to question, to not just take things as that's the truth. And so I always especially challenged systems and patriarchy and authority because they used their power over people in not so good ways. Yeah. So how did I get here? Well, I started my life as a teacher, and I didn't like the school system, so I started to work in adult education and training, and then I ran away from home when I was 40. I went to film school, and I started to use storytelling as medicine and help people find their voice, as I was finding my own as well. And that's what I've been doing ever since. Now, that's the Reader's Digest version.
So growing up, it was at Duck Lake, correct?
No, in Manitoba, in the bush. Lake? The first 15 years of my life were in the bush. In Vassar, Manitoba.
Okay.
Just a little hamlet. There? Yeah, it was a one-room school. It was like very small community. We were related to everybody. I grew up in an extended family situation, as they would say. My aunties and grandparents and everybody, like, all around. So there was like basically two families in the area, or maybe three, like, and we all working on the land. Like my parents, my dad and my uncles and my cousins, they all worked in the bush, harvesting the forest. And yeah, then when we had to move out, then we moved to the prairies, in Manitoba. And then later, I traveled all over for work, and all across the land. I've worked in Canada. I moved around a lot. True Métis fashion, you know, going where you need to go to survive.
So do you speak any other languages other than English?
Oh, yeah. I didn't speak English till I went to school. Like, we learned 1 hour a day, we had English, but we spoke French or Métis at home. And, yeah, so that's what I speak. My first language was, I guess you'd call Métis or French, or both, a mixture.
Very cool. And I guess did you learn that just by being around it, I guess, with the other families in your area?
Yeah, that's what everybody spoke. Yeah, everybody spoke that. Yeah. We had our own language. It's like every community has their own language, really. Like, it's a little different everywhere. Like, even Métis, like, so ours had a little bit more French, but, and Saint-Laurent, Métis is different than Saint-Eustache. Like, where I worked in Saint-Eustache, it was a little different when I was teaching there. But, yeah.
So would you be able to tell me a little bit more about your two-spirit journey?
Well, it wasn't until, like I said, I was in my 30s, and then we started to gather when I was living in Winnipeg in Myra Laramie's basement on Sunday afternoons, because we used to be part of the Medewin Lodge in Roseau River, but then they weren't two-spirit friendly, and so we walked away from there. And we started to gather on our own. I was the keeper of the drum. We had a drum, and we used to get together and drum and sing and share, like have our own little sharing circles. And there was an elder there, Barbara, and she would come and sit with us and help us. But yeah, that's how it started in terms of us getting together. And then in the 90s, early 90s, a lot of our brothers were dying of AIDS and were dying alone because of the stigma against, you know, gays. And so we started to gather, they started those international Two-Spirit gatherings to help each other and also to help us find our place, because we realized we were different than the LGBTQ people. We had a different responsibility or role that was based on our cultural practices, and we wanted to restore our place within our own communities as well and distinguish ourselves from LGBTQ. And that's how the name Two-Spirit came, because of that we were Indigenous and we were queer, but it was based in a spiritual worldview. And that really spoke to me, because I am basically a spiritual person. I always wanted to connect with that larger cosmos, you know, the universal. I know life was bigger than me and bigger than any institution. And so finding that place of two-spiritness really helped me a lot to ground myself in my journey as in this world. And to my, I realized that my role in life was to be in between, and to stand in the middle and to hold that balance of masculine and feminine, and that that's medicine, to be able to do that. And that's what brings healing to people, to create that balance between those principles, you know, the masculine and feminine principles in the universe. So that's what I've been doing ever since. You know, I grounded myself in that. That's how I define myself. And in the Cree word, well, we had the word Two-Spirit because we didn't have our original names in our different languages, because they had been buried under the colonial trash, you know? Like, we had to dig through all that trash to find our truth. And slowly the names started to emerge, as especially the young people demanded those things. Like, they needed to have that place. And as the names started to appear, like in Cree, Testawiwinyak, that means standing in the middle beings, the ones. So like all the names in all the different languages more or less have that meaning, because that's the roles, the responsibilities that we have, is to balance that circle. And that's why our people are really suffering, because we're not recognized or acknowledged with the medicine that we carry. That's our gift, to be able to balance that circle. It has been historically, and still today, that is needed. That medicine is needed to heal the people. So that I work really hard to, again, question and challenge the way things are, and try to restore that place, especially for the young ones now coming after me. So that's what it's all about.
That's really beautiful. I'd love to hear more about your career, like your film making life.
Well, you can see all my films on Vimeo. I have my own web Vimeo site. You just put Vimeo, Marjorie Bocage, and you'll find me. But all my stories are, well, started out pretty much with land-based journeys. Like whenever there was any, my camera is like a witness. My camera is like a mirror sometimes. It helps people see themselves, or it helps others see us in the way that we're not seen or understood. And whenever something is going on or a story needs to be told that isn't usually told, that's where I am with my camera. Like, I guess you'd call me a documentary filmmaker, but for me, it's more being witness or giving voice to what's going on. Yeah. And I have my own way of doing it. I'm not a conventional filmmaker, you know, like not television or film board or whatever. I start out with the intention and a question. I don't have the answer before I start. And that's different than, you know, the reporters and whatnot. They have a question and they already have an answer, and they go and find the people that will give them that answer. But it's a search for truth. It's a search for what's digging underneath what's going on, and trying to do some analysis, I suppose. But I leave the viewer to come to their own conclusions. I don't tell them what to think. I don't have voiceover narration and all that kind of stuff. I really try to respect that moment in time and let it lead me to wherever I need to go. That's how I approach my work, with the questions and intentions. Yes, intention is everything. Why you're doing something is important, the most important. You know, why am I doing this interview? Because I want the young ones to know that who they are is important, you know? Like, that they have a place and they belong. I did make a film about
Two-Spirit.
I did make a film about Two-Spirit in Saskatchewan a few years ago, because there was still so much stigma and homophobia, and I wanted to put faces on the youth that needed their place and what would happen to them if they don't get it. You know, they end up on the street, they end up, you know, with all their troubles, they end up alone. And I wanted elders and other community workers and to see them as youth needing their support, and to show that they also had a place and a purpose. So that's what I do.
And what led you to film?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Specific that led you to film?
As a medium? Well, I started out, I was using popular theater actually in my work to help to create justice and. And then I was so burnt out with all my activism that I was working in literacy at the time, and I decided to go on for my 40th birthday, to go on a women's writing retreat in New Mexico. And when I came back from that, I realized that I couldn't do this work anymore, that I needed a break, a longer break. So I told my coworker, and so she said, well, why don't you go to film school? I said, what? I was a total techno peasant. I did not have anything to do with it. And she said, well, you're a storyteller and you think visually and you're doing all this theater work. you know, all of that. And I had done photography and other things. But then that night, I deep down inside me, there was this like big joy that came out. You know, it was like when I thought about it, and then I thought, okay, so what do I do? So we went back to work the next day, and she helped me put together what they call a portfolio, because her brother was working at Ryerson University at that time. And so they sent the information, and I applied, and I got in. So I went to Toronto, which I considered the belly of the beast. You know, it was like, to me, I hated Toronto and all that it represented in terms of the capitalist empire and everything that I was fighting against. But there I was in the belly of the beast, going to film school. And it was like I found my home, you know, in terms of for my own spirit. Like, and whenever I went, and it was great to move out of the Manitoba and to go to Toronto, because nobody knew me. I could be an absolute nobody. I could just be a student at school. And I went into that place and I just loved it. And I just felt like I found my voice, my way of expressing myself. And whenever I was editing, I was just like, forget to eat and drink and go to the, you know, like it was so absorbing, and it just fed my spirit so much that I just knew that's what I was going to be doing till I die. And so, yeah. And as an independent creator, because I didn't work for any institutions, I wanted to have control over my own stories. I'm a self-governing Métis. And I own myself, I own my stories, I own my voice, and nobody was going to tell me how I was going to do it. So I didn't work for any companies. I just created on my own. So that's how I started making films.
That's so cool. Sorry, there's a bit of a lag, so sometimes I kind of not sure when to jump in.
You're going to edit this anyway, right?
Oh, no? Yeah, it'll be transcribed and also possibly an audio version, depending on the form you at the end.
Yeah.
So I just have at least a couple more questions, and feel free to lead the conversation if you want to. Are there any particular areas of concern regarding health or well-being of Two-Spirit people that you have identified over your time in this space?
Well, I've been working a lot with recently with harm reduction, because I've seen a lot of our young ones on the street and with crystal meth, and how that's destroying them, because they have what is the way through that darkness that has come over our communities with all that drug stuff? That's the biggest question right now for me. Like, it's because they don't have, what I've figured out so far that needs to change, and they need to have a purpose. They need to know why they're here on this earth. They need to belong and use their gifts, and they have a place for that. And they need to be on the land and in ceremony to find that. And that's not available to Two-Spirit youth very much, because they're discriminated against in ceremony. And people, you know, they're in the cities and they've lost that contact with the land, which is the teacher of it. You know, that's where you become who you are on the land. You know your place when you're there. Because I take youth out to camp every summer out on the land, and as soon as they come off the bus, you know, like they're they can breathe, they can relax. They don't have to worry about what's going to happen to them. You know, they're safe. And we need those places of safety in our communities for the youth. There is no safe places in our communities that they can go to. Like, I think every community should have a healing place, a safe place that people could go to and not be judged. Yeah, that's the biggest killer right there, judgment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a big, I did six little short stories. I did six videos recently about harm reduction. I haven't put them out yet on my site, but I will soon. I think they'll be released on World AIDS Day, but yeah. It's really, really huge here in Saskatchewan, and I know it is in Manitoba too. It's in all our communities. I mean, look at that murder that just happened in James Smith. It's all related to that. These drug wars.
What stories would you tell younger or future Two-Spirit generations?
Well, they have a place. They have a purpose, you know. There's a lot of people standing behind them in terms of ancestors that have already walked that path. There's, I don't know. I'm more of a in the moment person.
That's fair. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to add?
I just have to be who you are and not worry about what other people think. Try to find, you know, your people, your tribe. If it's not at home or in your family, there's always someone out there that can be there for you. There's little tribes of people everywhere. Like in Saskatchewan, we've got our Dragonfly Society, the Two-Spirit Alliance. There's communities growing everywhere. And more, it's changing, and more people are standing together and asking for what they need. That's important, to not just be silent and to express what you need and find the people that can help you, because there are people out there. You just have to find them. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for all of this today. Is there anything else you want to add before we kind of wrap it up?
No, I'm good. It is what it is for now.
Okay, I'm going to hit stop recording, but please stay on if you can.